Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
I got to let that get out first. I got to let that breathe a little bit, that music. That is our
like
mood
the first
music.
Part of the morning.
Yeah, baby. It's a football
like,
Friday.
You know, in a good way. In a good way.
Yeah, absolutely. Football Friday, presented by Carbach Apodillo IPA. What's happening, everybody? Happy Friday. Happy Football Friday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us on the cusp of a fun weekend of sports, football, Texans-Colts on Sunday at NRG Stadium. We got you covered throughout the day here. On Sports Radio 610, Seth and I got you covered on Sunday, noon kick, 9 o'clock Texans countdown. Good morning. Big fella, how are you?
I'm good, man. I'm a little bit, boy, did you see this incident from the football game last night? This high school kid attacked the ref?
Yes.
And
it's disturbing.
It was an awful act, and apparently that kid is done. See, he's their best football player, but he also, if anybody wants to go to my Twitter feed, at Seth C. Payne, you can see it. But I'm sure a lot of you have already seen it. He's done it before during soccer season, apparently.
Wow.
Just attacked a ref in last year's soccer season. He did it again. But there's this kid. So it's awful. I think the ref was okay, ultimately. Okay. But as this player is running onto the field, there's this big, hefty offensive lineman chasing him. Trying to, you know, I'm guessing he's been in this situation before. We're like, oh boy, here we go again.
Yeah.
And it's just like any nightmare where something's about to happen. There's a baby carriage on the train track, something, and you're trying to run, but everything's in slow motion. And you're going, no! This poor big old 72 just couldn't get there in time. It's bad.
Yeah, for those who haven't seen it, I don't know where it took place, Seth. I just saw the video, but there's a referee in a high school game who threw a player out of the game. So he says, you know, number 88 or whatever he was is kicked out of the game.
Yeah. And then Edinburg High School.
Okay. And then the ref just turns his mic off and starts to walk back to his perch on the field. And next thing you know, the player who just got thrown out is being chased by three of his teammates onto the field as he's running straight at the referee. And he just waylays this referee. I mean, bowls him out, pancakes him. And this is not a referee. This isn't Ed Hockley. If it was Ed Hockley, the kid would have bounced off of him and he would have gotten hurt. This kid, this referee is an old, out-of-shape man. And so he was, I'm glad you got the intel that he's okay, because the video that I watched, it left it as a cliffhanger.
Well, I say okay, like he's not dead.
Right.
So I don't know whether, I mean, he needed medical attention.
Yeah.
But I would argue that even if it were Ed Hockley would have gotten trucked over, because this kid's their best defensive lineman, apparently.
Yeah.
And he's gotten away with it already. I mean, he's back after having attacked a soccer ref. Like, so I would argue, Sean, or I would guess that he's probably like an incredibly good athlete, because who the hell comes back from that? Like, who the hell attacks a soccer ref and then is back less than a year later playing football again? He got the old star athlete treatment on this one, I'm guessing.
Who the hell plays defensive line and also can play soccer, too?
And soccer, yeah. That's another good sign that this kid's probably the stud athlete.
You know who played defensive line at a very high level in the NFL and in college, who was a soccer player in high school? Ndamukong Suh.
Oh, that's right.
Ndamukong Suh, and he wasn't a goalie. He was like a sweeper or a defensive player. Like, he, you know, a lot of times these big kids, you go, he played soccer. Well, he was a goalie. He just had to stand there and, you know, just stop some balls from getting into the net. Ndamukong Suh played like out in the field. Like, he was a, can you imagine being a forward and you get the ball and you're attacking the offensive side of the field and you're getting ready to attack and it's Ndamukong Suh standing between you and the goal?
Right. Yeah, and soccer's way more physical than you think.
Yeah.
If you've never actually like watched it, don't get me wrong, you know, it's not the same as football or rugby or something, but your physical presence can make a big deal if you're a big dude. Yeah, and especially Ndamukong Suh, who's got a habit of taking things a little too far. Yeah. Boy, so, speaking of that, though, Sean, I will say, I can remember when I played soccer, let me regale everybody with my glorious stories of second and third grade soccer.
It's not a football Friday. It's a football Friday.
Yeah, I remember I played defense. You know, I was a defenseman. I was a fullback or something. I barely remember the positions.
Right.
But I just remember all these clown kids chasing the ball around like little minnows. And I'm thinking, like, play your damn responsibilities, you clown morons. You're wearing yourself out. So I would just stand there back in my spot where I was supposed to stand while I watched all these other kids run and everything.
Yeah.
I felt kind of lazy, but I also, look, I was doing the right thing.
What some call lazy, I call efficiency. You were efficient, is what you were. So it is a Football Friday presented by Carbach Hoppadillo IPA. The Colts come to town. Seth, the Texans are 3.5-point favorites, or I'm sorry, underdogs. In this game on Sunday, the line opened at Texans +2.5. It went to +3 almost immediately.
Oh, the disrespect they show our quarterbacks. I will not stand it.
Because
these kids can play, damn it.
Look at
these
you,
kids
O'Brien.
Can play.
Look at you, O'Brien.
Tired of it. Turn on the TV and I see Philip Rivers this, Philip Rivers that. Oh, who's this young phenom taking over the league?
Right.
His name's Philip Rivers.
Yeah.
No. This is not Philip Rivers' time is past.
39.
Look, this corny dork coming into Texas, he doesn't belong here. Take his fake ass bolo tie and march right on out the door. You gotta dispose of this old man.
Pull his
diapers down and let him poop all over himself.
Here is J.J. Watt on Indianapolis Colts quarterback Philip Rivers.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in the league for a very long time. Obviously, I've said it before, he's one of the smartest players I've ever played against. He can call out your blitzes. He can call out your defensive schemes. He can tell guys they're misaligned on your defense. So he's a brilliant player who does an insane amount of film study, who works extremely hard to master his craft, and he's obviously done it at a high level for a long time, so it's a great challenge for us. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, is JJ saying what I think he's saying there, where Philip Rivers will tell the defense that they're misaligned, probably just to mess with them a little bit?
I've actually got some audio of this later.
You do?
When we do Keys to the Game, in about half an hour you'll hear Philip Rivers
good.
telling the Texans defense exactly what they're about to do on the next play, and being correct about it.
What's that like for a defensive player when a quarterback is telling you exactly what it is you're going to do?
Peyton Manning, talk about, you know, another corny guy.
That's super smart.
It sucks because you'd go into a game against Peyton Manning and you'd feel like, yeah, we got a pretty good game plan here.
Mm-hmm.
I think we figured it out and we're going to fool Peyton Manning. And a lot of times what will happen is it'll work for the first half. Maybe it'll work for the first 2.5 quarters. You know, you get midway through the third quarter, and all of a sudden, Peyton will come up to the line. And this is what he'll do. This is one of these things, Sean. There's about 3 or 4 things that really good quarterbacks do that I don't know why more quarterbacks don't. But Peyton was a master at utilizing the dummy count, not a hard count or a fake, but the whole dummy count, where the entire process was set up to come up to the line, call an audible or a fake call or whatever. You know, blue 42, blue 43, say hut, and all he's trying to do is figure out, okay, which safety starts to cheat a little bit, mm-hmm. which defensive lineman changes his alignment. And at that point, all of a sudden, you would get to that point in the game where you'd realize, like, oh, crap. I just know the safety just took a false step or something. Because Peyton would step back, change the call, and then just tear you apart. No. So, like, and you could feel when it was coming in the game. You'd get to the end of the third quarter, and you'd just be down in your stance, and you'd be like, oh, crap. Because even if you know what the audible was, there are times where I knew what Peyton's audible was, and I knew it was a live call. And I kind of only knew it was a live call because it was the perfect call against the defense we were in. You know, like it perfectly offset exactly what we were doing. And then you're done. You're just done. There's nothing you're going to do at that point. You just got to just try to enjoy the ride.
I feel like if I asked Peyton Manning today, what's Peyton now? Probably like 46, 47 years old now, something like that, 45. Been out of the league for 5 years. You've been out of the league since 2006. I feel like if I went up to Peyton Manning and said, tell me a tendency that Seth Payne had when he was a player, he would be able to name something, I guarantee you.
Yeah, he probably would. These guys, they've got those photographic, like that LeBron James ability to go back 9 years and tell you a whole sequence of plays.
And I say that to say that Philip Rivers has that, right?
Yeah.
Like Philip Rivers, like, so the Texans, Philip Rivers is not nearly the physical phenom. I don't know that he ever was a physical phenom. I mean, we've spent part of this week making fun of the way the guy throws. But he is mentally playing the game, maybe not at a Peyton level, but he plays it at a level above most quarterbacks, and that's what the Texans are up against. They're doing it without their best cornerback. So we're going to talk plenty about this game today. Seth's going to do his keys to a Texans victory at the bottom of the hour. We do have some Rockets we need to dig into. The Rockets, new players continuing to meet with the media. Their head coach met with the media for the first time since the team began gathering at camp. First team practice, team workout, I believe, is on Sunday. Nothing out of James Harden yet, but Steven Silas did meet with the media yesterday. He's already dealing with his first crisis as an NBA head coach. He hasn't even coached a game yet. Do we approve of his approach to the Harden situation? It's next. Payne and Pendergast with you, Sports Radio 610 on a football Friday. We are going to mix in a little basketball because the Rockets traded Russell Westbrook a couple days ago.
What?
He did. Yeah, I don't know if you heard this, Seth. They traded him. They traded him for John Wall.
And what?
In a 2023 protected first round pick.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wait, now by protected, you don't mean that you might not actually get this pick until 2026.
That's precisely what I mean. It may never end up being a first round pick. It might be two seconds. Yeah.
I don't believe that.
No, it's true. If you find the articles, it'll tell you that. Boogie Cousins is a Rocket, too. I don't know if you.
What?
Yeah. No, Boogie Cousins is a Rocket, Seth. Yeah. Yeah.
It is. I'll tell you what. Honestly. It's a whole lot of change.
It's weird.
So quickly before the season begins. Everything has been so compressed. I told you a couple days ago that I, like, more than anything, I wasn't annoyed at the Rockets. I was annoyed at the NBA in general because I just feel like everything's coming at a million miles an hour these days at you, and that's how it feels with the NBA. All this stuff just happened. You're trying to process it. As the season is only a couple of weeks away from starting, it's exciting in a way, but very disorienting.
Yeah, intrigued is the word I would use for the Rockets. Do I think they got better over the last few days? Maybe. I don't know. A lot of it's dependent on health. Do I think that they're a title contender? No. I mean, I think they're a playoff team in the West. They've got a chance to, currently constructed, if guys stay healthy, can they host the playoff series in the first round? I think so. I mean, I think they're capable of being a top four seed in the West. But
Sean, the best already that we've seen is like DeMarcus Cousins, right? We know he needs the right situation and the right coach to get the best out of him.
Yeah.
He can be somewhat temperamental at times.
Yes.
Him talking about how, hey, he and Christian Wood could share the floor and almost just kind of be co-starting centers.
Yeah.
Monitor this situation. I don't know if DeMarcus Cousins' expectations for himself are the same as what perhaps the Rockets have for DeMarcus Cousins. We'll see. I don't know.
So within all this churn with the roster, the guy steering the ship is a first-time head coach as well. Like, this is not where they're handing all these new pieces and all this drama to Mike D'Antoni, who has seen it all in his 69 years on earth and his several decades in the NBA. This is Steven Silas, who I think is an older 47-year-old. You know what I mean? Like, he seems very mature. He's very respected, very intelligent. And Steven Silas is dealing with drama before he's even coached an NBA game as a head coach. James Harden has not spoken with the media yet about his situation, but they did just trade Russell Westbrook. Stephen Silas asked yesterday, how are you handling James Harden right now?
Well, I haven't spoken to him since the trade. And to be honest with you, in situations like this, so I've been, this is whatever, 22nd year in the NBA. And when stuff like this kind of happens, where there's a little indecision and stuff going on, I kind of take a step back and allow guys some space. So from my perspective, my communication has been, I'm giving you space. And that's kind of where it's been as far as my communication with him.
Seth, what do you think of the way Stephen Silas is handling his first crisis? He's giving James Harden some space. It feels like a relationship. You know, I'm going to give you your space for a little bit. And then
well,
we'll see.
I think there's what Stephen Silas is saying, which is the right thing. And then there's also perhaps what kind of feedback or what kind of response is Harden giving Stephen Silas.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities to think that maybe Stephen Silas has texted Harden a couple times and he just hasn't gotten a text back.
Yeah.
You know? I have no idea. I have zero clue. It is, I feel bad for Stephen Silas. I think he knew what situation he was stepping into, but perhaps not quite like this. I know a few people that have stepped into roles before, just in the corporate world, where they took a job as an executive in a company, and they're excited about it, and they step in, and they realize, whoa, this is a much bigger mess than I had been told it was. And all of a sudden, you know, you've been hired as the CEO, and you're supposed to help this company continue to grow when you actually find out, oh, wait, no, they're actually in the middle of a crisis. And that's a little bit what the Rockets are right now.
Yeah.
I don't know if Stephen Silas would have expected that it was going to be quite this level of crisis. The trade requests and whatnot all came, you know, I don't know privately how much rumbling there was about this, but publicly it was all after Stephen Silas was named coach.
Yeah, I don't know how much Stephen Silas knew. Now, look, Russ has been disenchanted with the Rockets going back to last season. You know, folks I've talked to, Russ was kind of taking a look around, like back before the All-Star break last year, and looking around and going, man, I'm not sure about the vibe here. I'm not sure, you know, about how James gets handled here. There were a lot of things that Russ had trepidation about that far, far predate the pandemic, honestly. Not if you forget Stephen Silas, they go way back. So I'd be a little surprised if Stephen Silas at least didn't have an inkling that there were some issues internally. But look, you know, it's of all the jobs in the NBA, we can talk all we want about the drama the Rockets are experiencing right now. If you're a first-time head coach, this is not one of the worst jobs in the NBA or anything like that. It's a decent job.
Well, and he also stepped in knowing that, you know, Harden is who Harden is.
Right.
At some point here, people are going to lose their patience with Harden. Just because what Harden's doing in a lot of respects, it feels kind of like what LeBron did in Cleveland, except that the LeBron, and I'm talking about the second time around, but LeBron actually brought a championship to him, so what are you going to say about it? But LeBron, you know, LeBron, as he was playing general manager in a lot of respects, all of a sudden gets disenchanted and disillusioned with the roster that he's assembled himself, and he's out the door. But, hey, he brought him a championship.
When you say people, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I'm just – when you say people, do you mean fans or do you mean people in the building over there?
I mean fans.
Yeah.
I mean just fans in general. And yeah. I mean, that's kind of split already. Some fans are PO'd at him. Some are going to, you know, be 100% Harden supporters till the day they die. But, yeah, that's – this now, look, he's in Houston, reportedly. There's the video of him working out at the University of Houston.
Yeah.
And I assume from the people that's coming from, you know, Ben DuBose's of the world and whatnot, I would assume that's valid. So it's not...
And it's not from a year ago or something?
Yeah. So there's a... So some of the reports that he was in Miami were at least either mistimed or what have you. So I don't know. I'm just trying to sit back and just give – I'm trying to give Harden his space too, Sean.
You are?
I haven't reached out to Harden in the last few days. I'm just like, I'm going to let you
– James Harden.
Look, you've You've ignored my repeated invitations to all of my parties. Right. I get it. I get it.
Seth's been
Look, it's been 7 or 8 years where I've been giving Harden his space.
Yeah.
You know, Sean, I have dutifully obeyed all restraining orders filed against me.
Right.
And I'll continue to do that.
Yeah. You've given him his space since he got here. I think it's noble of you. Real quick, here is Stephen Silas on, is he confident that James Harden is going to be all in?
I'm confident that he'll be all in. You know, that's where I'm leaving it. As I said, that I'm giving him his space to do his thing, but I'm confident he'll be here when we get started.
I think he'll be there. I think he'll show up. All in is something that only James Harden knows deep down, how all in he's going to be on that. And James Harden does not do a very good job of hiding when he's not all in on something. So it's going to be December 22nd rolling around is going to be very interesting for this team. He does not.
What? There is some way. He's only got one facial expression. He's got that resting Harden face. But there is somehow, you can tell, even though it doesn't change one bit, you can tell when he's upset versus when he's happy.
You can tell by the style of play, Seth. He either unplugs defensively. I'll go back to that San Antonio, that Game 6, that elimination game where they lost by 39 at home to a Kawhi Leonard-less Spurs team. James Harden took two shots in the first half of that game. Took two shots in the first half. Like that, if you're asking me, like, how does James Harden show that he's not engaged? He doesn't go out on the court and do James Harden things. He embargoes quality play is what he does. He withholds his services on the floor. Oh. That's what he does.
Oh.
Yeah.
So the relationship experts will tell you, never withhold sex as a form of, you know, barter in a relationship.
Right, or step
and by
back
relationship
threes.
Experts, that's me talking to my wife.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
right.
Like, I'll say, Brandy, listen, I'm a relationship expert, and I'll tell you right now, what you're doing is unhealthy.
And I,
she's like,
and
Seth,
thus,
not. She's like, Seth, you just haven't showered in several days. It has nothing to do with our argument.
And thus, I am withholding hygiene. All right, keys to a Texans victory over the Colts. The one biggest thing Deshaun Watson needs to do. Seth Payne is going to tell us next. Very happy Football Friday to all of you. Appreciate you tuning in. Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. Texans, Colts, Sunday, division rivalry. Texans a 3.5-point underdog. At half points big, they were 3-point underdogs most of the week. But then I'm guessing the combination of Fuller and Roby, who are two guys that you can ill afford to lose. And I think especially ill afford to lose against the Colts, where, you know, they've got a really good defense. Fuller's your best offensive weapon. They've got a guy who kills you in the passing game in T.Y. Hilton. You're not going to have your best cover corner.
What's this? You're not going to have Roby?
I don't know if you heard this.
Or Fuller?
Seth. Two things. One, DeMarcus Cousins is a Houston Rocket. Two.
Wait,
so
yeah,
is,
you told me. You told so me is, that 10 minutes
so
ago.
So is Sean Wall. I didn't realize there's so much stuff I need to get you up to speed on. Yeah, no, Fuller and Roby got suspended earlier this week.
What?
For the rest of the season. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? I check out mentally 5 days ago.
Yeah.
I come back and rejoin you mentally today. And, okay, you're telling me that apparently DeMarcus Cousins and John Wall are here.
Yep.
And Will Fuller and Bradley Roby are out. I can't imagine why Houston sports fans are feeling so uneasy about so many things right
You've
now.
You've done an incredible job the last couple days of acting like you were listening to me on the air. It's really remarkable. All right.
It really is, though, honestly, though. All kidding aside.
What the hell?
It's a lot of major roster changes.
Yes.
to the two biggest sports in Houston right now. My goodness.
Since the beginning of the year, we'll get to this top of the hour. I'm glad you said that, because top of the hour, we need to take inventory of what all has changed since January in this city, because it's pretty incredible. We'll do that top of the hour.
Topsy-turvy world, yeah.
You know what can cure a lot of the ills, Seth? Winning. Winning can cure a lot of the ills. The Texans have won two games in a row. They remain a 1.5% chance to make the playoffs.
Oh,
or,
yeah.
Or as Seth and I like to call it, the biggest source of optimism in our lives. 1.5% because this is the show of optimism in this town. So a win over the Colts would not only feel very good because we hate the Colts, but it would feel very good because it would be three wins in a row. This would be some momentum. This would be a little bit of lipstick and perfume on the Texans' head coaching and general manager job as well.
It would be three wins in a row, and four out of the last five
That's
games
right.
would be victories, too.
That's right.
Yeah, damn near close to a win streak
it's
here.
It's practically a
like
dynasty,
a bona fide
really.
Winning streak. Yeah, I know. It was really, like, honestly, when people talk about dynasties of November and December of 2020, I think the Texans are in the running for that dynastic conversation.
That's why they need to win this on Sunday, to keep the dynasty talk alive on Payne and Pendergast. So here we go. Ben, mood music, please. Thank you. All right, Seth Payne has keys to a victory for the Houston Texans against the Indianapolis Colts Sunday. Seth?
Yes.
The floor is yours.
Let me finish up my little calculations here now that I've gotten this devastating news about Bradley Roby and Will Fuller.
Right. I'm sure I've...
Carry the three times seven equals Easterby. Okay, here we go. Deshaun and the offensive line. I'm speaking to all six of them at this point. Hey, go ahead and protect Deshaun. I think the offensive line has steadily improved in that area this year. But Deshaun, I would say, don't be afraid to extend the play here. You did it last week. You took over 3 seconds per throw on average, and it was just fine. One thing that Deshaun has done well as the season has progressed is that, along with his newfound trust in the offensive line, he's really made better and better decisions about when to keep scanning the defense, when to pull it down and run, when to scramble to do all those things. And that's key versus this Colts defense. Because this Colts defense has had a few rough spots in the last few weeks. And one of the issues is that they have coverage breakdowns. So if you extend the play, the Colts will break down in coverage. Somebody will make a mistake. Number 26, Rock Ya-Sin, second-year player. Or is this his third year now? Whatever. Young cornerback for the Colts. Watch number 26. Last year, he took more snaps than anybody else in the Colts defense. This year, he's had his snaps reduced over the last few weeks because he keeps messing up. He keeps committing penalties. He gets very, very handsy. Remember Lonnie Johnson and the issues that he had? Rock Ya-Sin is that guy. So whenever Rock Ya-Sin is in there, hopefully get Brandon Cooks on him somehow. Extend the play if you need to, because you will draw defensive pass interference. Last year, Rock Ya-Sin in a game against the Broncos had five penalties in one game. Five!
God, five.
And when you're
here's the thing about that, Seth. There are certain positions where if you're getting five penalties, it's not that big a tax. Look, five penalties stink regardless of who you are. But if you're an offensive lineman and you false start five times, that's awful, but it's 5 yards. You know, it's second and 12 instead of second and seven. When you're a defensive back and you're getting five penalties, those are likely all penalties that are automatic first downs. There's at least a couple of them that are probably 30 or 40 yard penalties that are completely swinging field position. That is a great key to the game. If you're Deshaun Watson, extend plays and find number 26. Absolutely.
That's something that doesn't show up on the box score. It's those hidden yardages. But you get 35 yards on a PI because Brandon Cooks is matched up on Rock Ya-Sin. By the way, Seth Payne was really high on Rock Ya-Sin coming out of the draft.
We've all got those.
He looked really good. He's just got to clean up some issues. But he's not going to clean them up this week. And key number two.
Yep.
This is one that's near and dear to your heart, Sean.
Okay.
The Texans, I'm not sure if you're aware of this. Just like I was just blindsided by all these roster changes.
Yeah.
The Texans have struggled to score touchdowns on opening drives.
The hell are you talking about?
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Now,
what is the stat? What is the current tally?
Here's the thing. I have not watched an opening drive since 2017, so I thought they were really good at them. When I last watched in 2017, when Deshaun was a rookie, they were scoring on almost every opening drive. Are you telling me that since the beginning of 2018, they've only scored 2 touchdowns on opening drives with Deshaun Watson as the starting quarterback? Is that what you're telling me?
That's the word on the street.
That's the dirty rumor.
That's what the mainstream media wants to tell you, Sean.
Is that what I'm hearing?
But this is what you need to know about the Colts. The Colts, headed by apparent, head coaching prospect phenom Matt Eberflus,
have
really struggled defensively in these last several weeks. I'm gonna tell you a stat that the Texans absolutely 100% need to take advantage of. In the last 3 games, the Colts have allowed an average of 26.7 points in the first half. That's a whole lot of points given up. Yeah. Crazy in the first half. And now, the last 2 weeks, they've given up 31 and 35 points, I think. So most of the bulk of those points are scored in the first half.
Yeah.
Take advantage. I'll give Eberflus credit for buttoning it up and making adjustments at halftime. So take advantage of the Colts defense on the first half. And now this is the big X factor. And for this, I'm going to have to queue up my COVID commissioner of Harris County music.
Okay, let's change.
I'm officially putting on that cap right now.
Yep.
As the self-appointed COVID commissioner of Harris County, mm-hmm. I need to address a menacing threat that faces all of us Harris Countyans this morning, and that is one DeForest Buckner, a man who is currently on the COVID reserve list.
Yes.
We actually tested positive for COVID, not just on a contact tracing.
Oh.
Look, we don't blame anybody for contracting the disease that is COVID, right. But we do need to guard against them. So DeForest Buckner, who also just coincidentally happens to be one of the very best defensive linemen in the NFL. Okay, all right, whatever, okay? Yeah, look, I'm not here to, you know, try to protect the integrity of anybody other than just myself as the COVID commissioner.
Yeah.
It's a coincidence that DeForest Buckner is really the best defensive player for the Colts. He is a carrier and a super carrier at that. You know why? Because he weighs like 290.
He's big.
That means he's got extra virus in him. You know, if he weighed 135 pounds, if this was a horse jockey, I would say like, hey, that's half the coronavirus. Come on in. But this is 290 pounds of coronavirus. This is like a Petri dish, a big jiggly Petri dish, 290 pounds of agar carrying the coronavirus. I cannot allow him within the Harris County limits.
If you're a bigger person, you spread more coronavirus? Is that
yes,
how,
of that's course. How that's works. Sean, that's science. It's just science.
I don't know.
So I hereby ban Colts defensive tackle DeForest Buckner from entering Harris County limits due to his out-of-control coronavirus infection. I refuse to put Harris County lives,
right,
more specifically Deshaun Watson's life, at risk.
Yeah. It's a safety
from the
issue.
Coronavirus. Is this something I want to do? Certainly not.
Right.
But I am duty-bound, Sean, to protect my fellow citizens, and I will bravely, nay, heroically fulfill my duty to the citizens of Harris County, no matter how much it offends the tender sensibilities of a bunch of inbred, illiterate hicks from the barely recognized state of Indiana.
Okay, so
thus it be.
And just so you know, everybody, Seth is holding a scroll in front of him, and he's declaring it while standing on a pedestal in a town square is what he's doing right now. So if I'm hearing you correctly,
and I couldn't find any. It's imprinted on. Not parchment. I couldn't find any of that. So sheepskin condoms. Right. I stretched a bunch
okay.
about.
The, yeah, I was wondering what that was that you were holding. Okay.
Yeah.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, thus far the keys to a Texans victory are Deshaun and the offensive line not only protecting Deshaun but him extending plays. The Texans making sure to attack them on the opening drive because in the last 3 weeks they've given up an average of nearly 27 points in the first half of their last three games. And number three, you banning DeForest Buckner from being able to set foot in Harris County because he is a carrier of COVID-19.
Yes, and that alone.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with the fact that he is an absolute menace to the interior Texans offensive line, which frankly is a struggle at times.
Okay,
moving on. Moving on. Nobody investigate any of the claims I made as COVID commissioner.
That's right.
Disguise. This is very important because as we heard J.J. Watt talking about earlier, Phillip Rivers, very, very smart quarterback. He'll call out what you're doing. And this is from when the Texans played the Chargers last year. And what you're going to hear is Phillip Rivers pointing out where Brennan Scarlett is aligned in the formation and what happens afterwards.
Hey, I can just tell you right now, 57's firing. He's the new Clowney. Set. Green 80! Good! Told ya! Hey! You don't play Mike! Why would you line up there?
God, is that
so
the,
basically.
That's the ultimate blow to your intelligence manhood right there, is it not?
Well, like, Brennan Scarlett was lined up. You know how Clowney used to rove around behind the line of scrimmage, and you knew that Clowney wasn't going to be in coverage most of the
right.
time. You knew he was going to rush somehow. So what Rivers was pointing out there was, okay, I know Brennan Scarlett, and this is where it's a little bit more impressive because from his film study, he knows what Brennan Scarlett's strengths and weaknesses are, and he knows that he's almost definitely going to be rushing. So they didn't get fooled there. So when you go to try to fool Rivers, this isn't some buck rookie that you're facing. This is a guy that's going to figure it out. So you do want to disguise, but sometimes what defenses will do is if you don't disguise the right way, you're actually tipping your hat more than you're confusing a quarterback. So that disguise. This also, I want. This is how I had written this, Sean, and then I had some extra time this morning, so I went back and researched it. I said, remember the old days and get JJ over to the right side of the defensive line.
Yeah.
So we can go against Anthony Costanzo is injured, so it's probably going to be LaRaven Clark, who is awful at left tackle. Put JJ over there as much as possible. And we've seen him do that this week, but it was curious because I heard Romo say that, hey, you know, maybe they'll move JJ around more, not, you know, like the old days. I went back to JJ's defensive player of the year stats. So 2012, he spent 26% of his snaps on the right side of the line instead of his starting left side of the line. 2014, 25% of his snaps were on the right side. In 2015, he was defensive MVP. He only spent 13% of his snaps on the right side of the line. This year, he's been over there 17% of the time.
Okay.
So it's not like he's doing it any more or less than he did before. I do think this needs to be one of those games, though, where you really exploit it. Like, okay, does it confuse other defensive linemen? Do they have a harder time figuring out? Maybe. But I think JJ's at the point where he's ready to just feast on LaRaven Clark. So I would say go ahead and put him over there. Also, as I was researching these stats about JJ and where he's lined up,
yeah,
he's had 6 snaps at nose tackle this year. Now, usually those are blitzing, pass rush type of situations where he's lining up head up over the nose tackle.
Feels like more than that. Only 6. Huh?
I know. Well, this is 6. This is when he's
right
like
over.
Head up.
Right over.
Yeah,
there.
Like if he's tilted a little bit to one side or the other, they just call it a defensive tackle.
Gotcha.
So this is where he's lining up. But it did get me to thinking. I'm going to bring this up with JJ next Wednesday in the press conference. I think that JJ, at some point before he's done, maybe like the year he wants to retire, I'm going to suggest this. JJ, just go ahead and have yourself a good old time in the offseason. Get up to about 340 and play nose tackle.
Okay.
Just be a 340-pound nose tackle. You'll be the strongest human being on earth. You won't have to run nearly as much, and you'll play against inferior athletes that centers are. I apologize to my good friend Steve McKinney, but you know the score. And it'll be a blast. He'll probably end up playing like 5 more years.
Okay,
just living high on the hog, quite literally, because he'll be eating a hog a day.
He will literally be eating a hog, and he might even look like a hog. All right, I'm fascinated by this.
Okay,
because one. JJ, for a guy who's in shape, he does love to eat. He tweets out a lot of cheat day stuff.
Yeah,
that's number
likes
one.
His Guinness beer too.
He does. So every day would be a cheat day for him. Number two, there would have to be a video series of you coaching him up on training on how to become 330 pounds.
Oh my gosh!
Going to different
barbecues
and going to different pizza joints and right.
Sean, when I came to Houston and I went from being like a 3 technique defensive tackle to nose tackle, there was no better place to live.
Yeah.
Between my introduction to 2 food items, one, the kolache,
yes,
and I'm talking both the genuine kolache, you know, which is the fruit. Plus
right.
The bastardized kolache.
We got you, Czechoslovakians. Yes, those, yeah.
That and the avocado. You know, I'd never been a big guacamole or avocado guy, but I came and I was introduced to real Tex-Mex for the first time in my life. Oh, no, my God. I couldn't have done it anywhere else except maybe Green Bay with all of the,
cheese.
You know, the sausage factor up
the
there.
Sausage,
and cheese.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll introduce JJ to... Boy, and then, boy, I'll tell you what, when I moved to the Rice Lofts for 1 year and lived in a building where there was a Chipotle in the lobby.
Right downstairs.
That's where it really amped up.
How many burritos?
Really
how many, Seth, be honest, how many burritos would you pick up when you got home?
Are we talking about
day?
Before breakfast or after?
Either.
Yeah. I don't know, at least 2 a day, right?
Yeah. If you're going to live your gimmick, then yes. If you're going to be 330 pounds, hell yeah. I'm picturing you with like a soft serve machine in your house that had guacamole coming out of it, where you're eating guacamole like it's soft serve ice cream and like dripping down your chest.
Brandy brought up bought a bread machine 1 year when I was still a three technique in Jacksonville. We had to get rid of it. We had to donate it to somebody.
Yeah.
To send it off to Goodwill or whatever.
Homemade bread is very underrated. Very underrated, fat guy.
Okay, real quick, T.Y. Hilton, in his 8 career games on the road against the Texans, he averages 119 yards per game.
Is that good?
Just shy of one touchdown per game in Energy, formerly Reliance Stadium. I think the first couple years it was Ron Alliant.
Yeah.
My main concern here would obviously be Lonnie Johnson.
Yeah.
Look, the cornerbacks, they've got their hands full with whoever they roll out in front mm-hmm. of them. Lonnie, hopefully this entire week, has been watching a reel of the various ways T.Y. Hilton has gotten behind safeties, and he needs to take a blood oath not to succumb to the disease that is T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah.
So, also this, very quick, 8th key to victory. No Texans defenders shall call T.Y. Hilton a clown or any other type of circus performer.
That's a good, okay? Good advice.
Yeah.
Jonathan Joseph's not here anymore, so that's, I think, our chances of that happening. Good advice. Those are good keys right there. Seth Payne's keys to a Texans victory. We do it each and every Friday before the game at 6:30. We'll see how many of the boxes the Texans check.
You're still thinking about checks.
I know, rice checks. Download the radio.com app. Use that rewind feature. We love when you guys do that. So keep listening. Keep listening to the whole station all day long on radio.com on the app. Up next, Seth alluded to it. The list of names who were integral to the Houston sports scene at the beginning of 2020 and are now gone is absolutely bananas. We'll get to it next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.